WSHU delivers trusted news reporting that keeps you accurately informed and uplifting music that delights and surprises you. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm Brad Dancer, WSHU General Manager. Your financial support gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood. It also brings a daily source of inspiration through classical music. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
New York State officials unveiled a handful of new actions this week to address PFAS contamination. The man-made forever chemicals are found in household items and don't break down in the environment. Now, the Department of Environmental Conservation has released details about how widespread PFAS chemicals are and policies for drinking and surface water safety. Amanda Lefton is DEC Commissioner.
The wastewater treatment plan guidance, the rural background study finalization, the biosolids product sampling and private water supply policy proposals will help provide DEC with critically important data and help inform New York State's next steps to prevent PFAS exposure and protect public health.
The chemicals have been linked to health problems like developmental delays in children and cancer. You're listening to WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Water has been restored to the majority of Waterbury residents. We're breaking down Suffolk's settlement of a decade-long lawsuit over sewers. Governor Hochul signs an aid in dying bill in New York. Plus, 2025 was the year of AI, a review of the laws in our region and beyond. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Water has been restored to the majority of Waterbury. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports the city hopes to have the water tested and cleared by the end of the week.
Water service has been disrupted since Friday night, when a century-old water line failed and caused a transmission main to explode. Mayor Paul Pernarewski says pressure should be back for most residents.
Most people should have water, so if you don't have water, call 311 or call the water department, and we will try to get out there to see what the problem is. I know
they expect to have water test results back by Thursday. Until then, residents should still boil the water coming out of their faucets before drinking it or using it for food prep. School will be back on Thursday. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Suffolk County officials are putting the final touches on a settlement of a decade-old lawsuit over a sewer district dispute. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio explains.
Ratepayers in Suffolk's Southwest Sewer District claim in court documents they were overcharged by at least $260 million. Now, the county legislature will vote this week on whether to approve a $120 million settlement. That includes $11,000 payments to about 400 ratepayers, plus $78 million for sewer district upgrades. County Executive Ed Romaine said in a statement the settlement will shield the county from liability while also ensuring critical sewer infrastructure projects. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Eversource wants to charge Connecticut residents $88 million more for access to water. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports it comes after regulators refused to let them offload Aquarion, the water company they own.
The hike would represent a 42% rate increase for more than 700,000 people in Connecticut who rely on Aquarion for water. Eversource has been asking regulators for rate hikes for the past 3 years. But PURA, the state's utility regulators, have rejected the hikes as well as the plan to sell off the company. Eversource fought the move in court and put pressure on PURA, leading to the ouster of its former chair. State Attorney General William Tong called Eversource's requests bloated and excessive, and he said they'd comb through the company's filings to keep rates low. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
AI is here to stay, and lawmakers from our region were at the forefront of the conversations about AI safety measures this year. A conversation on that is coming up. Vocal support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Not only is Christmas next week, this Sunday is the winter solstice. And Sunday Baroque will celebrate with a 17th century English composer's musical take on winter. Also, glorious choral music for Christmas by Johann Sebastian Bach and George Frederick Handel, and a lullaby carol with ancient roots. It's a happy and stress-free celebration on Sunday Baroque this week. Sunday morning at 7 on WSHU Public Radio.
Suffolk County lawmakers took steps to require hotels to keep better records in an effort to prevent human trafficking. The bill also bans any stay of less than 6 hours. County Executive Ed Romain says he'll sign the bill into law. Access Health CT says they'll extend a key enrollment deadline after their website crashed on Monday. It was the deadline to register for coverage that begins on January 1st. The deadline has been extended until this Saturday, December 20th. Yelp has named the country's 100 best ramen shops, and a Long Island shop comes in at number 2. Yuta Ramen in Mineola opened in 2023. The restaurant touts its broth that simmers for 16 hours. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says she will sign the Medical Aid in Dying Act with added protections. The controversial measure would allow life-ending drugs for terminally ill patients. Corinne Carey is with the advocacy group Compassion and Choices. She says Hochul's decision to sign the bill helps sick New Yorkers gain agency over their own lives.
She's making this decision for all the reasons that I thought she would. Her commitment to freedom and bodily autonomy, her belief in compassion, her belief in the evidence, and her own personal, you know, experiences with witnessing someone who's suffering.
The guardrails Hochul wants added include a 5-day waiting period to get the drugs and confirmation from doctors that the patient is fit to make the decision. Opponents of the bill have called it immoral and dangerous. As artificial intelligence moved from buzzword to everyday life this year, its impact was felt across our region. I spoke with WSHU's Janice Roman about some of her reporting on this that she's done throughout the year and what we can expect in 2026. So this year was a huge year for technology, especially when it comes to AI. You've been covering all of it for us. What are the major stories and how are they connected to our region specifically?
There have been so many advancements with technology, and you're right, the buzz seemed to revolve around AI or artificial intelligence. And what we've seen is that advancements have been moving very quickly, almost faster than people can keep up with. So there isn't really a clear consensus on how to respond. You know, we're seeing things like school districts having rolled out entire AI curriculums to teach students, and others have focused on implementing bans, right? So going in the opposite direction, or advocating for stronger regulations on social media platforms. But much of the conversation surrounding the policies have been focused on appropriate legislation. But that's not something that everybody can agree on. You know, what does that actually look like? While some want to put more restrictions, others are a little bit more hesitant to pass laws because they don't want to stifle innovation. And that's why you see in places like Connecticut that laws were passed to fund things like AI workforce training, but not heavy on general restrictions on AI development. So it seems like the more specific the policy, the more likely it is to pass.
So what are some of those different types of legislation that we're debating in our region, things that have moved forward?
In Connecticut, it is now a crime to disseminate synthetically created revenge porn. So lawmakers wanted to address this problem with generative AI revenge porn or deepfakes. And so now it is a crime to not only create but share those images without a person's consent. Another law revolves around data privacy, you know, stronger protections of consumers and their rights when it comes to buying anything online, from concert tickets to airline tickets, to make sure that companies are setting fair prices and not targeting consumers using data that they're not aware of. Recently, states like Connecticut and New York have been focused a lot on passing laws around AI chatbots, especially when interacting with children.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little more because that's made national news recently. I know there are some ongoing lawsuits related to protecting kids and teens interacting with AI. So what specifically is the concern there?
Right. So several people have spoken out about the emotional impact that these chatbots have on vulnerable people. They are reportedly designed to simulate human relationships, right? You have a conversation with these online bots, and sometimes it can simulate a conversation between a friend or a romantic partner. But what's been concerning, especially for young people, is that parents have reported chatbots have exposed their children to sexual and or suicide-related content. And there have even been some reports of incidents of children who died by suicide. So given the severity of the claims in New York, a new law requires companies to implement strict safety measures around artificial intelligence chatbots. But there have been bipartisan efforts seeking to regulate interactions even further, going as far as potentially banning AI chatbots for children or minors. Legislators introduced the GUARD Act this year, which would require age verification for users. So it requires that companies disclose explicitly to users that the conversations that they're having with these bots are not human.
And what about what's happening at the federal level? I know lawmakers from our region are really vocal about what's going on there. Are there any changes happening that could affect our region specifically?
Well, there's a lot going on at the federal level. It's something that we should really keep an eye on for the upcoming year. At the national level, there has been sort of this repeated attempt to establish or introduce the idea of a federal ban on AI legislation. But the idea has been met with a ton of pushback. Earlier this year, a provision had been proposed and it was added to the federal tax and budget bill. Later, it was removed before the bill actually passed, but when it was introduced, it suggested a 10-year moratorium or ban on state and local AI regulation. And that would essentially mean that states couldn't pass laws regulating AI in any way for 10 years, which in the world of technology is a very long time. I mean, think about how quickly technology advances in just 1 year. So obviously, legislators on both sides of the aisle are strongly opposed. Even in the past few weeks, a similar provision was included in the National Defense Bill, right? It's not explicitly connected to artificial intelligence, but that had also been proposed. And once again, it was met with strong opposition and subsequently removed. So expect to see ongoing conversations about artificial intelligence regulations, where to draw the lines, and who gets to decide in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure these kinds of stories will be keeping you very busy in 2026. So thank you. And thanks for all your great reporting on this, Janice.
Thank you.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And join us over on Instagram for more, like more on the music you hear, the latest news, and some fun behind the scenes, too. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. We'd love to connect with you on there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening, and we'll talk tomorrow.